But the intent of your thoughts is a vibration that connects you with what you are looking for. If my intent were to generate electricity, surprise, I could do that. D. It comes from your mind originally then. P. Yes. I get stuff like, all thought is vibration, and once it is thought it continues to exist. Thoughts aren't destroyed. Thoughts are energy. This description of the crystal pyramid sounded very familiar to me. In my book Jesus and the Essence there was a similar device in the library at Qumran, the home of the Essence on the cliffs overlooking the Dead Sea in Israel. A huge pyramid-shaped crystal sat on a pedestal, and the Master of the Mysteries was the only person who knew how to use the energy that it generated. The students would channel their energy to him, so he could direct it in many different ways. In my book Keepers, A Future Being Talks to Now, 283, of the garden there were energy directors on other planets whose job was to direct energy to be used by the population. That energy could be used as electricity or took many other forms, depending on what was required. Giant crystals were also used to generate energy in the ancient civilization of Atlantis. But in that case the use of the energy was abused, and this was a contributing factor in Atlantis' destruction. D. And you said, you are more or less in charge of this room? P. Yes. It's a very stark room. It's dome-shaped. Very big. Round. The only thing in the room, as I look around, seems to be this pyramid. It has four sides, but it comes in also on the four sides a small amount before it rests on the base. It looks so much like a fluorite crystal on a light base. But that is all that seems to be in the room. And there are many of these round rooms. It's similar to a whole ant farm down here underground. The rooms and the tunnels all seem to be lined with metallic substance, and they all seem to be filled with information. D. But you think you are associated with that room? P. It's a job, and I like it. I can go anywhere in the tunnel though. I don't feel restricted. I'm walking down one, and at the end of this tunnel is a door. It's actually two halves together. They slide up and I can go into this big cavernous room. But right now they're closed and I'm just standing there looking at these huge doors. D. Is that a room that you often go into? P. It doesn't seem off limits. I think I'll have to ask the doors to open. So I will. Now I'm looking in the room. I'm going in a few steps. It's just a bare round, domed room. It's totally flooded with blue light. I can't see where the light's even coming from. It feels good in there. D. What is the purpose of that room? P. Sudden laugh, wow. It seems that beings that are off the planet can be transported into this room, so they can materialize themselves. This is the incoming chamber. The whole room is filled with the blue light, but there's a column, 284, legacy from the stars, D, P, D, P, of more intense light beaming down. A beam. And as I stand and look at the column of light, there's a bunch of glitter now. And I know that something is going to materialize in the column of light. Somebody's coming in. Is this what it looks like, glitter? Like whirling glitter. Like molecules reassembling, but they're all made of light, so they sparkle. It seems that this is a very critical time. The time of teletranspiration, when the, I want to say the essences, are made physical. So it's really an intense and important time. It seems that at this time of physical manifesting in this room, there are not usually observers, because this is so critical. I cannot think of the correct term. The process is delicate. And surely we want nothing to happen in this phase that would in any way inhibit or change or affect the being or beings who are coming in. Then normally no one is watching when this happens? That is correct. That is also why there is no object in this room. No anything except this light. In the column in the center of the room I see just swirling and glitter, and I know that this will assemble into a being. I know that I'm trying not to breathe very much, because even the act of breathing could affect this very delicate operation. So I'm trying not to inhibit or injure this delicate procedure in any way. I will step outside and allow the doors to close for a moment. All during this section about the teleportation room, her voice was noticeably quivering as well as her hands and body. P. I am awed that I saw the glitter. It seems that I must not be privy to every big thing that happens under here in this city. D. Then it is unusual to see that part? P. It feels very unusual. Very special. This sounded very similar to Star Trek, Beam Me Up, Scotty. But then I wonder where did Gene Roddenberry get his ideas? Maybe science fiction is really more science fact than we, a future being talks to now, 285, realize. In one of my UFO cases, a woman reported a room on board a craft where her molecules were broken down into what appeared to be whirling glitter, and then reassembled. D. Are beings transported this way very often? P. This is a room specifically designed for that purpose, although it does not seem to be used very often. It seems that it is an occasion that merits great excitement. D. Then you don't have visitors come this way very often, in your life then? P. No. Only those who spend most of their time off the planet. I just realized that I seem to spend most of my time between the room with the large crystal and this room where the teletransportation takes place. And I realize that one of my functions is to graciously receive visitors. I must be some kind of grotter. I didn't know that. D. Is there equipment there that you have to operate? P. No. The equipment is doors that open and close. That is operated by thought. So I don't actually have mechanical apparatus to manipulate. My function seems to be one of greeting and making guests feel at ease and comfortable. It seems that I have a highly developed sense of empathy with a large range of different beings. This is a quality not shared by all beings in the tunnel. So that actually qualifies me for the job of Grutta. For empathy is not something you could read in a textbook, or even be taught by another individual. It comes from personal experience. So I must be really old, I guess. D. These type of feelings are something that the others are not as familiar with. P. HMMM. It just seems that I have more. And it seems that I have this job because it most, I was going to say perfectly, but I don't like that word. It most best fits my qualifications. It's very hard to feel empathy for some of the visitors that we receive, when they are so very different from us. And yet I seem to be okay with it. I'm not shocked or judgmental or afraid. 286, Legacy from the Stars, D. You mean that some of the beings that come through the teleportation room do not have the same physical characteristics? P. That's correct. D. Can you tell me something about these other beings? P. I am familiar with hairy-looking things that definitely don't look like us. More like, well, this is a strange way to say this. But they are similar to artists' renditions of Bigfoot-type beings. I am also familiar with something that is like a mask. D. What do you mean? P. Their faces look rubbery, like a mask. Looks like masks. Like Star Wars characters. D. Do you think it might not be their real faces? P. Well, it's their natural appearance. There are millions of different types of beings that exist. Or more than millions, an infinite number. I've seen some pretty strange ones, so I was just trying to describe in general. D. What do you look like? P. Sigh, I can tell you what we look like from the back. D. Do you feel uncomfortable looking at the faces? P. The face I see is the face that's on the cover of Communion, and it doesn't bother me. It's just that I feel too left brain, although 12 years ago I also saw this form while in meditation. It has a larger head than proportionate to the way the human head is to the body. The head is larger, thin neck and thinner arms and legs. Small body, maybe 4 feet or around there. All covered with the same garment. The face. I just am more comfortable always looking at the back. I can even look at the back of myself. It's weird. D. Can you see your hands? P. Yes, the fingers are longer. She laughed. Well, that's funny. I should have more fingers, there are only 4. Actually, as I'm looking at it now, they look skeleton-like. Very bony and long. D. What about your feet? A future being talks to now, 287, p. covered. I can't see my feet. I can feel I'm standing secure. I don't actually observe any difference though. D. Okay. Do you eat food? P. Well, I don't know, So I'll look around and see. D. See what comes to mind. What kind of sustenance would you take? P. Well, this is really interesting. She laughed. It's some kind of very sweet liquid, like a nectar. It's a liquid diet, it's sweet, and it smells wonderful. From her facial indications it was evident that she could really smell it. D. Does it remind you of any particular smell? P. Of flowers. I thought immediately that it came from flowers. D. How do you take it into your body? P. I guess I drink it. My mouth's watering. She laughed. D. See yourself doing it. How would you take it into your body? P. Confused. Well, I almost felt like I breathed it in a vapor form. That's why it smelled so good. I inhaled the elixir, but I can taste it. We do have mouths, and we do swallow. You can inhale through your mouth as well as through your nose. It's a very thick essence. She seemed confused as to how to convey this. D. It has more substance than just the odor then. Does it have a color? P. I would say golden would be a good color name. D. Do you have any teeth? P. I don't appear to have teeth, no. I don't have the chewing sensation, but I do swallow. A tongue. There is taste. But smell is really predominant. D. That's one of the main senses? Would that be a right word? P. Well, in the joy of eating. She laughed. Smelling is almost euphoric. It's a wonderful sensation. The aroma is so perfumed. And we know by inhaling this aroma we are 288, legacy from the stars. D. P. 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 Perpetuating that physical form, so it's a joyous and conscious thing. Humans aren't aware that when they eat food they're actually replenishing their living being. Most humans don't keep those thoughts in mind when they eat. But we are aware. Are you also sensitive to other smells? Well, we have highly developed olfactory senses. Do you vocalize? Do you use words in communication? Very interesting. We do have absolute thought transference, so it is not necessary at all to speak words. However, it seems that we do have vocal cords, because we make a sound that's melodious. And by making different tones we access different, the word is emotion. HMMM, how interesting. Tones, yes, we make, and we understand when we hear a tone what the person is intending. Is there anything else that is different about the body and the way it functions? Well, we don't have your usual elimination system. None at all? It's through the skin. In humans also, the skin is part of the elimination apparatus. But with us, through skin and suit. More like evaporation. Not an unpleasant or offensive thing in any way to anyone. Then those organs are non-existent? They seem to be more like the appendix, sort of remnants but not functioning. What about lungs? The respiratory system? It seems that we breathe, definitely. Let's see, lungs seem to be the heart. There are organs. Blood? Circulatory system? Yes, I see blood. I see a heart and I can see all of that. In fact, it seems very similar to the human body internally, although some of the organs just don't function anymore, because there's no reason. Have they become atrophied? Yeah, atrophied would be a word. But there is a word beyond atrophied that I can't access right at this moment. A future being talks to now. 289. D. I was thinking if they weren't functioning they eventually would just shut down and disappear. P. As the appendix still remains in humans through many, many, many years of physical evolution, so too do we maintain organs that we no longer use. D. What is your skin like? P. Very thin. As a matter of fact, it's just about transparent. You can definitely see veins. D. What color is the skin? P. Almost transparent. But very, 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 very light. Almost white. D. Does it seem like human skin, or is it a different consistency to the touch? P. These are interesting questions because skin is not something that we look on very often. As I try to really look at a body, everything, even hands and faces, seem to be covered by a protective film that looks like skin. Even though I have on a suit, under the suit I have a film that entirely envelops my body, face and hands. The skin is just too fragile, too porous. It has to be protected. All parts. D, you mean the skin can be damaged easily? P, oh, yes. Even by just blowing really hard on it. D, does this film look like your skin? P, yes. To anyone who is not one of us, they would assume that it is our skin. D, it is covering the head and every part of the body under the suit? P, right. But there are holes for our nose and our mouth and our eyes, so it just looks like skin. D, this way it would be rather expressionless, wouldn't it? P, oh, we don't have very much in the way of physical facial expressions, because our thoughts and emotions are immediately known to each other. Unlike humans, who must use many, many gestures and facial expressions in order to impart what they are attempting to say to another. D, yes, we use body language. 290, legacy from the stars. P, it is not necessary, so it seems the facial muscles have long since atrophied too. D, because I was thinking this mask, so to speak, would. P, that's a very good way to think of it. Mask-like. Because most beings. Let me think, pause, I can't think of any beings that don't, so I'll say all that I'm aware of. All beings who are trying to interact with humans don't use vocal or facial or body language to make their thoughts known. It is all through the realm of mental telepathy. So humans misinterpret movements and stiff faces as scary or mean or something, when in fact it's just because humans can't read their minds. Their minds are loving. Imagine how strange we must look to these aliens with our faces constantly moving, especially our mouths grimacing as well as talking. Then add to that how we use our hands to emphasize points of conversations with gestures. We must look pretty bizarre or even frightening to these gentle creatures who long ago learned to communicate in a more fully honest way, with complete mind-to-mind telepathy where no mistakes can be made in interpretation. The first requirement of mental communication is complete honesty, because it would be useless to use trickery when your every thought is known. It also explains why a face with no expression appears frightening to us or makes us feel uneasy. Without body language, we have nothing to relate to. Maybe we will relearn the telepathic form of communication in the future. I say relearn it, because in my work with hypnosis and exploring the past, I have discovered that the people of Atlantis were extremely adept at using the powers of the mind. These abilities were taken away, and justly so, so they could not be further abused. We are on our way to regaining them. Let us hope that this time we will use them in the proper ways. I continued with my questioning about the physical makeup of this underground future dweller. D, is this elixir the only thing that you see yourself taking into your body? A future being talks to now. 291, p. Light is the other thing that is essential for continuance in this particular form. D, can you explain what you mean? P, we must have light baths pretty regularly. D, what is that? P, while we're in inner space, beneath the surface, we go to a round room in which we lie on tables. Also very stark, like concrete picnic tables. And we're bathed in light. We actually sleep in a light bath also, a different color. It's an indigo when we are sleeping. But when we are taking our fuel bath, it's much brighter. I see it varying in color, depending on the specific need of the individual. D, did you say fuel bath? P, fuel, yes. Because like the elixir, that is what I want to call the food, the light is fuel. D, and the different colors are different types of energies that you would need or what? P, it depends on how long we've been away from the light bath. It's almost like recharging a battery. It is just as constant as food and water for humans. Light and elixir are absolutely essential continuing things to keep the body going. If the time period, for some reason, has been an extended one. And by extended, it seems that I only mean hours, not days. D, you couldn't go too long without it then. P, no, and if a long period had ensued, more than whatever the prescribed time is, then the intensity would be increased. I see that low ebb requires a sharper red, orange, yellow. Very, very intense. If you went at the prescribed time, you would be bathed in a relatively golden glow. That's very beautiful at the end of the bath, because it transmutes into a very soft pink. It's very uplifting and mellow, and you're ready to go back about your business. But while you're receiving the yellow gold, the regular intensity, if you light on schedule, instead of eat on schedule. Smiling about her pun, while you're receiving that, it's not quite as mellow. It's just a feeling of rejuvenation. 292 D, P, D, P, D, P, Legacy from the Stars, D, P, D, P, D, P, D, P, then it's more intense if you've gone longer without it. Absolutely. What would happen if you didn't get it at the required time? I think the physical being ceases to function. They get weaker and weaker? Let me see. Pause. Well, there would be no reason that you couldn't get to the light. The variable would be, if for some reason your job kept you from getting there at the necessary time. But it seems that no matter what, if you could not, if you had not the strength to get to the room, that somebody would carry you to the room. Then there would be no reason you couldn't get to it. Right. If you couldn't get there on your own, you would be taken care of. I also know that we can go to the surface. At which time we are constantly bathed in a light that is very, very rejuvenating. Very intense. And we can operate for a period of time, but there reaches a point of saturation. At which time we go back to the less intensity of our underground world. It seems that on this planet my society, that I'm viewing now, lives most of the time inside. This could be Earth. I don't have names or anything going through my head as I ask myself. What is the source of that light on the surface? It's an external orb. Probably another planet reflecting light, or a star or a sun. Looks like our sun to me as I look at it. What about the terrain on the surface? Does it look like Earth or is it different? I unfortunately see no vegetation. Do your eyes seem to function? Yes, they function quite well, although they must be protected. They are covered with a solid black shield of some sort. It reminds me of sunglasses. The eyes are very delicate and sensitive, just like the rest of the body. I don't see the body being able to survive without these protective devices. I have something like a helmet on while I'm on the surface. I have a pack on my back with tubes connected to, a future being talks to now, 293, D, P, 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 the helmet. And just my same silver suit. I think it should be noted that we receive light through this suit. I don't see us ever taking off the suit. Maybe you use it to process the light in some way. I don't know. The only thing that's different is this pack and the helmet. Do you have ears? Pause, I can hear. Frankly, looking from the back, I don't see any. Any kind of opening or anything. Well, yes, there is like an opening. If you were to cut your external ear off, you'd still have an opening. Yes, that's what it is, because I just turned to the side. It's not as big a hole as a human ear opening, even without the auricle. But I'm totally capable of hearing, really well, actually. I was curious as to why you had to live underground. Do you have any reason that comes to mind? Only the gas. The gas? One of the reasons we wear a helmet on the surface is because of the odor. Of course, the gases themselves are rather poisonous, so we wouldn't want to breathe them anyway. A small hit of the gas without the helmet wouldn't automatically make the physical form collapse and die. It would be some exposure. It's not that potent. But the smell is very strong and unpleasant. I was thinking you might be more sensitive than humans would be. To smells, yes. Could you think what that gas smells like? Was there a predominant smell in it? My very first response to that was rotten eggs. Sulfur. A rotten smell. It's thick, too. The air is thick, you mean, or the smell? It's a predominant haze, so the gas seems thick. The atmosphere seems so full of this. 294, Legacy from the stars, I returned to asking questions about the being's physical composition. D.P., are you any sex? Male or female? I'm not a sex, but I seem to be a class. What do you mean? We don't differentiate by sex. And that made me think of reproduction, and I can't answer that yet. I want to answer your question about class. It seems that it is a privilege to be able to go to the surface at this point in our history. Not all of us are allowed to the surface. So instead of sexual differentiation, there is some kind of pecking order, I guess. Like some type of a caste order, you mean? No, because I feel that it's a very loving, open, equalitarian society. And yet I feel there are privileges extended to some, and I'm in that privileged class. That's what you mean by class. But there's no sex, per se. Are you androgynous? Androgynous, to my way of thinking, means possessing both male and female characteristics. I'm looking for physical attributes, because I am only thinking about Earth reproduction. But, in fact, we have cloning down pat. No, there is not sexual reproduction. Can you explain what you mean? How the procreation process would be done? Sadly, unfortunately, I see no new entities. I only see cloning. Because we are sexual creatures, we tend to think that every other species throughout the cosmos must be the same. But I am getting the information that androgyny is the norm throughout the universe. I do not perceive any male, female per se. There are different personalities who could be considered feminine or masculine. Sexuality is unique to humans. It is very unusual to reproduce by using two separate sexes. This is why extraterrestrials are so fascinated with our methods of reproduction. Then we are the unusual ones, with our two separate sexes. D.P., a future being talks to now, 295, that we have taken it to this degree, yes. You might even consider it two separate species. I found that remark intriguing. Reproducing the species is something necessary to any life form. Sexual reproduction, however, does seem to be of, although a fun form, a lower vibration. There are times of absolute transcendence that take place during the act of love. During the act of sex, however, this rarely occurs. So it is not what happens every time there is sexual reproduction. The moments of transcendence that are experienced by Earth beings are also experienced by those who do not have human form. But they don't necessarily come from the same reasons, from a physical union. When the intelligent being reaches the point of total awareness of the cosmic flow, of being one with all that is, just having that spark of remembrance occur is quite euphoric and sensual. However, I do not see extraterrestrial beings in the act of mating. I do see in my mind a pregnant androgynous being, so there apparently is actual physical reproduction. And so I am asking, does that mean that there are male and female? And the answer came that, no, there are parent beings. That is a little unclear, so I am asking, can anybody be a parent being? And the response is something to the effect, if that is your desire when you have realized that you are capable of anything, that if you wish to have live birth, then that seems to be possible. This is a very difficult area to explain, because different dimensional entities do not perpetuate themselves in the same way that fourth dimensional beings do. This is very difficult ground, because when you have the capability of dematerializing and rematerializing, you don't have an actual need for creating new beings. This, of course, is a generalization. But I might say that although we, here in our underground city, are androgynous, we can manifest, let me not use that word, because that gives an incorrect picture. We can act the way we feel most comfortable acting. And some of us act ways that can be Earth labeled masculine, and Earth ways that can be labeled feminine. 296, Legacy from the Stars, D. Then you mean at times you do have this feeling of being more masculine? You more or less play a part, masculine or feminine? P. No. Those are terms that we have to use because we are talking Earth terms. I just mean that all of us are not carbon copies of each other. Some of us enjoy the more physical strength roles, which could be termed masculine. We don't call them that. This is just a method or manner of approach. A way of being. D. It's more of a personality type thing. I imagine you have personalities.